Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the second Sunday in Advent. It's a blessing to be in the house of our Lord, continuing our preparation for our Lord's coming at Christmas. If you are a guest or visiting with us here this morning, we're glad that you are here along with all of our members alike. And a friendly reminder to please fill out the attendance card you can find in your pews. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 2, beginning on page 167 in our hymnal. And so we sing now the first hymn, 349, Hark the Glad Sound. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear, O my people, while I admonish you.
O Israel, if you would but listen to me, but my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We are no strangers to warning signs, danger signs, caution signs. Entering a school zone, sharp curve ahead, railroad crossing, do not enter, one way only. Flashing lights and sirens on fire trucks, police cars and ambulances, smoke detectors, car alarms, home security signs, microwave in use, watch for deer, building condemned, caution, wet floor. All of these and many more cue us into the presence of some type of out-of-the-ordinary situation, of harm or of danger or of warning for us. But they are for our good, to help prevent us from getting injured or into any type of trouble. Warning signs, danger signs, caution signs are there to help. In today's gospel text, John the Baptizer asks a stinging question to those who have come out to see him. Who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Luke states that John's words were aimed at everyone, and not just the scribes and Pharisees, as is indicated in the other gospel texts. Well, that's a strange question for John the Baptizer to be asking, as that is why he is there, preaching and teaching for that very purpose, so that people would come out to him and be prepared for the coming of the Christ, and to avoid the wrath that is to come. That John was speaking words to everyone indicates that all are in danger, every last one, of the coming wrath. All are sinners in need of repentance. But this goes against the belief of the Jews in Jesus' day, who would say in response to John, "We have Abraham as our father. We are already grafted in to the chosen people of God, handpicked by him to bring about the Lord's Christ. Our sins, whatever they may be, need no repentance." But John, as the messenger of God sent before his face, had a different message for them all. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Now, John was sent by God to speak the good news of the coming of a new era, the arrival, finally, of the actual Christ himself. And no one would be able to hide behind the identity of descendant of Abraham. But no one really could do so before either. For salvation and righteousness from wickedness and sin and corruption before God was always dependent on faith and trust in his promises, in his goodness and guidance. But the Jews in John's day were especially bent toward the way of thinking that they already, in their status, had it made before God. But that is always, always the wrong thinking, even for us today. For none of us are free from falling away from faith in Christ until we die and are finally called from this veil of tears. Martin Luther wrote that the entire life of the Christian is to be a life of repentance. For as we daily sin much, we are to daily repent much, confessing our sins and receiving absolution again and again. Now, John referred to the wrath that is to come, but what was John the Baptizer, the prophet, expecting? As such, as a prophet, John was called to speak God's word publicly to the people as it was given him to proclaim. But none of what John proclaims is new. He was given the task of announcing the coming of the Christ, something that had been done for hundreds of years before. Old Testament prophecies continue to announce the same thing. At some point, the Messiah will come. John and the rest of Israel's faithful believed that, believed the coming of the Messiah would bring in judgment day. Upon all the earth, God would finally break in once again to his creation, and he would put an end to wickedness and injustice and corruption and evil. For hear what John proclaims. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The wicked would not survive the coming of the Christ. He would chastise them and send them off to eternal punishment. That concept, that idea, the coming of the Christ, the judgment upon his enemies, that day of wrath was horrifying for those who were not in step with the Lord's anointed one. And this is the truth. For the last day, there is no getting around that reality. When Jesus comes again on the last day, it will be judgment day. No one will escape his all-seeing, evaluating eye. All will have to answer for the lives that they have lived. The unbeliever will have to take responsibility for rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord. And no intentions will be good enough before God. No excuses will be tolerated, and there will be no leniency from the judge. The axe will chop down the tree that bears no good fruit, all the way down to the very roots, and off into the fire it will be thrown. This is what the prophets foresaw, when the coming of the Christ would finally occur. And yet, none of this happens with the arrival of Jesus on the scene at his first coming. Instead of going out and attacking the non-Jews, the Gentiles, and uprooting their rule over Israel and sitting upon the throne to reign as David's heir, he reaches out to the unclean. He touches the sick. He socializes with the rejects of the Jewish society. And he is not cutting down any trees and not putting an end to evil and wickedness in this lifetime. And when you first see a vast city from a long distance away, all of the skyscrapers blend together and form one long skyline. But as you draw closer to that city, more details become clear, and you soon see buildings start to stand out from each other. It becomes clear that some are closer to you than others, some are smaller or bigger than are others. That is often how it works with prophecies. The prophets were given a certain vision of what would come in the future, but they did not often know exactly when that future would be, when that vision would be fulfilled. In the case of John and various other prophecies, they were expecting a singular coming of the Lord the Christ. And he could not tell from those words previously spoken, or even from the words John himself was given to speak, that the Christ would come only once. But instead, he would come a second time as well. This is likely why John was perplexed by Jesus questioning even him and his ministry. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? He does not overthrow the non-Jews. He does not mount up an army and overtake the throne of David. And while Jesus never quite brought the judgment like John was expecting, Jesus' very presence, as the Word of God made flesh, puts the world into judgment. God's Son is not needed in human flesh if mankind is not dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus' very presence, as God in the flesh, brings condemnation and fear. The master of the house who returns to find his servants asleep, like when the angels make their appearances, and instill fear simply because they are holy and coming from God. And with his first coming, Jesus' perfection, his holiness, his righteousness confronted the people where they stood. But Jesus came to help and not to hurt. He came to save and not to condemn, as John 3:17 says, "For the Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And what John did not realize was that the Christ's first coming was to bring forgiveness, to bring eternal life, and to bring salvation, that Jesus, the Christ, would offer up his own life as a sacrifice upon the cross for all sin, even though that was prefigured and foreshadowed in each and every lamb that was sacrificed for hundreds of years before. And Christ Jesus continues to come to us here and now, even though he has ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. He visits us with his word and with his sacraments. And he does so because we still need forgiveness, because we still sin. We are judged guilty for our sins, but declared righteous because of what Christ has done, granting us grace in God's great sight, received by faith in Jesus. And when Christ does come again, on that last day, the final judgment will indeed take place. Unbelievers, they will be judged guilty of the unforgivable sin of rejecting the gift of the Holy Spirit, turning away from Christ Jesus. But all Christians, you who are baptized into the sacred name of Jesus, you will be declared innocent, fully and completely, of all sin, even though, yes, you and I have committed so many. For Jesus is your innocence and your righteousness through faith in his great grace. You will stand before God as the redeemed, the chosen people of Christ. By faith in the word of Jesus, you heed the great warning call of the gospel to repent of your sins, to flee to Christ for salvation. For he is your only solace, your only refuge from the wrath that is to come. And this is God's desire for all people, to flee to Christ, to find refuge in him, heeding the warning call, and thus being saved. That is why we are here. We are gifted to call people to repentance, to speak the very word of our Lord Jesus Christ into all the world. God indeed grants that many would hear that gracious word and heed this call of Christ to repent, to believe and to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, to the glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and
it is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes, the name of the Lord in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have mercy on us.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you to our mixed choir for their singing here this morning, and to Caitlin Oakes, who was our soloist during that piece as well. And thank you for sharing your talents and abilities here with us. We do have a voters meeting this afternoon at 1 o'clock in our fellowship hall. That is to decide our budget for next year, so our voting members are asked to attend. Christmas caroling will take place 1 week from today, starting at 3:30. We'll meet in our fellowship hall and go out from there to a couple different areas in our community to share the joy of the season. Next Eat Night for our school is tomorrow, and that is all day at El Rancho Grande in Savoy. Flyers are available for that on the table, so grab one as you leave here this morning. We do have a Sunday school Christmas program coming up 1 week from today. That's in our Sunday school Bible class hour, so starting at 9:45, 1 week from today. So no Bible class or other Sunday school classes will take place on that day, but join us here in the sanctuary for the celebration of Christmas through our Sunday school students. Our day school also then has a program 1 week from this Tuesday. Is that correct, teachers? Nope. It is this Tuesday, not next Tuesday, so come this Tuesday. Is that in the gym or here? It's in the gym. Okay, just making sure I got it all right. So in the gym this coming Tuesday for our day school Christmas program, you can join us for that as well. Lastly, the cookie walk continues this morning down in the fellowship hall. Cookies are on the tables that are down there, so please do make sure you go through there and help support our LWML ladies and the mission work of this congregation. Go forth in the name of our Lord, and we greet each other in peace.